Good morning, all. How are you going? Excellent. That's good. Great. Got the clicker. Turn it on. Say hi to people. Good. Let's see. There we go. All good. It's actually really hard to hold on to a mic and the clicker. I just realized that. Just things you learn when you're up here. Good morning and welcome to Macquarie Chapel. My name's Chi. I'm normally the youth pastor, and it's great to be up here speaking to you. Had a fun time at 8:30. I'm looking forward to it for 10:30. So it's great. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the topic of joy, haven't we? And it's a wonderful topic. It's wonderful that we as emotional beings, and yes, that applies to you gentlemen out here, experience joy and emotion, and it's an emotion that we need in our lives. Dave and Diane has helpfully pointed out that God is a God of joy, and that our joy is based in God. So thanks, Tim, for reminding us of that as well. But joy is a funny little Christian word that's becoming a little bit more and more out of fashion these days in the secular world. The amount of times I've used the word joy outside of church this week, do you want to have a guess? Anyone want to shout out a number? Zero. That's exactly right. Now, I hope that that's not the case for you, but I find myself using the word joy almost exclusively only when referring to a person. And now I'm sure there are many joys in your life, and I know a few myself. There's one in 8:30 service. But joy as an emotion is not a word that the world uses. And yet it's a profoundly important word for us Christians to help us live in this world. Have you ever wondered why that's the case? Where's the word? Where's the joy gone? So the naturally curious me looked up the differences between joy and happiness to see what the world has to say about it. Now, if you remember back to Dave 2 weeks ago, he's quoted Rob Bell and he's compared the heaviness of joy to the lightness of happiness. And I think that's one helpful way of looking at it. And it reflects the definition given by the website Diffan, which compares anything. Literally, that's what they say, compare anything. You go to this website and you compare anything that you would normally compare with. And someone on the internet, some bloke on the internet, does the legwork for you and compiles it all that together and puts it on the website, and it tells you how they're different. So, you know, what's the difference between, AFL and NRL? I'm sure they've got something for that. So here is for happiness and joy, and I've, copied and pasted a little bit of it. And here are some definitions. If you look at the definition, the meaning of happiness and joy according to this website, it's pretty much on point with what we've been talking about. It says here, happiness is an emotion in which one experiences feelings ranging from contentment and satisfaction to bliss and intense pleasure. And the meaning of joy. Joy is a stronger, less common feeling than happiness, witnessing or achieving selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice frequently triggers this emotion, feeling spiritually connected to a God or to people. It's not the best, but it's okay. It reflects what we've been talking about. But I want to really hone in and flag the emotion row that's here, where this person has defined that happiness is an outward expression of elation, while for joy, it's an inward peace and contentment. Now, I looked around and it actually seems that this inward-outward division is actually quite common, and it's the way that the world defines the difference between joy and happiness. But then that's where things got a little bit weird. Like a good modern scholar, I moved on to YouTube for anything related to joy. And I hear the results that I got. You get TED Talks, and you get quotes from famous celebrities. And I'll save you the time from looking through all these yourself, though you're free to do it if you want. I've come to find that the most popular interpretations of happiness is what we define as joy. People found their happiness by looking inward and finding contentment or self-fulfillment. They've conflated the two together. They've combined it. They've combined happiness, joy into one idea. And then to be truly happy, as they would say, you need an inward peace and you need inner contentment. And it leads to an outward expression of elation. There's no division between the inner and the outer. Turns out that to be happy, according to the internet, you need to find joy. They just don't call it that. And they get so close to this enlightenment, but they fall so short because they look for joy within themselves rather than in God, which has been the focus of what we've been of this sermon series and this whole psalm, Joy in the Psalms. But there's something to learn from this secular view of joy, I think. That while they've really oversimplified the relationship between the two, there are differences. There are differences. But I think it's more in common between the two than there are differences. And my biggest fear when talking about the topic of joy is to focus too much on these differences and end up unintentionally driving a wedge between the two and limiting joy to what it actually is, to be less than what it actually is. So over the last few weeks, we've been building a foundation of joy in God, and that is great because it allows me to come to today's Psalm 100, and build upon that foundation. And upon the foundation of Psalm 100, it shows us an example of joy and how it is not just an intellectual exercise, but it's an exercise of affections as well. Now, Psalm 100 is a bit of a small psalm, but it's full of action. It's full of action. In fact, it has seven actions, seven verbs that make up the psalm, which is defined as a psalm of thanksgiving, of praise, of grateful praise in the NIV. Psalm 100 is painting us a picture that a joy that's thriving. And it looks like a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. And that's the title of my sermon today. It's a thankful praise to God. And within these seven action words, it neatly grips itself into a threefold response in giving thanks to God, which will be my 3 points for today. A heart response of thanks to God, a head response of thanks to God, and a hand response of thanks to God. What I mean is this: Christian joy is affectionate, it's emotional, and it is intellectual, and it's actionable. And so let's get into it. Let's look at the first triplet of actions. The psalm starts with a universal call to make noise to God. The psalm itself is not attributed to any writer. But our psalter here, his first action is for everyone to make noise to God. Shout to the Lord. Worship him with joy. Come to him with joyful singing. A song of praise to God starts with a universal calling to make our joy known to others. We are called to worship God, to give God his dues. And in what manner are we to do it? We worship God with joy and gladness. And then our third action is to come to God with singing. And what type of singing? It's joyful singing. These are actions of passion. These are actions that command passion. Shouting, singing, worshiping. They all come from the heart. And this tells us a lot about joy. That it is passionate, that it is full of affections. A joyful Christian is passionate about God, and his or her affections for God is evident. And this is a very tough teaching for us Presbyterians. But I think it's more a Sydney evangelical thing, to be honest. Theological teaching is our strength. Joyful singing, maybe not. And let alone shouting and making noise. Oof, that's a big no-no. But where do we go learn about these passions? One needs to look no further than a professional sports match. It's round 14 of the 27 season of AFL. It's the Sydney Swans versus the Essendon Bombers at the SCG. It's 5 minutes to go, and we're 19 points down. And then there was a goal for us, which is worth 6 points for those who are not well-versed in AFL. You need 3 goals to kind of catch up and win. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was there was hope after the first goal. And then 2 goals, back to back. And then suddenly there was this anticipation. The stadium is on their feet. They're screaming, shouting. They're urging the Swans on. Just a bit more fight. Just one more goal. And as the seconds tick down, a gentleman named Gary Rowan takes a mark dead in front of goal. Can't miss it from there. And then the siren goes. A sure kick and pure exhilaration as the volume of the stadium somehow got even louder. That's passion. Then came the team song and it was a chorus. The atmosphere was electrifying. That's passion. And to experience it live was something special. We talked about it all weekend. And it was a little bit of a contrast coming to church 2 days later on that Sunday. With the hushed, muted breaths of singing, both feet planted so firmly on the ground like a rock that the Apostle Peter would be proud of. Was that passion? Was that joy? But I'm sure that if anyone asked me that question, I would have told them, of course I have joy. I know that God loves me. I know that He saved me. How can I not be full of joy? Came to a realization that weekend that I rarely see that same fervor, the same passion for God than with a sporting team. And that is something to reflect on. Why are we more inclined to jump up and down for our sports team? Or maybe it's not your sports that you're into. Maybe it's your favorite music artist at a concert. Maybe, you know, or maybe it's your favorite couple getting together in a romantic series. Or maybe it's your favorite couple getting together in real life. Whatever it is, why do we show more passion and affection for things of this world than we do for God? Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 14 to 15 says this, while King David is escorting the Ark of Covenant back into Jerusalem, he says, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. Make noise to Yahweh. Make noise to God. Worship God with joy. Come to Him in joyful song. Christian joy is breaking out into singing and dancing at God. It's what the world sees and understands as passion. Now, I'm not saying that you have to dance and sing every time we come to service on Sunday, though some people do actually do that. But we know in our hearts where our passions lie. But if you're not sure where your passions lie, just ask a friend or ask family. And they will tell you what perks you up and keep you talking for hours and hours. That's your passion. For us, do we come to God? Do we come to our God with this same passion? With the same joy that we have with our hobbies? Do you respond to God with your heart? Joy is an affection. Joy is an affection of the heart, and it comes from the heart. If you think that you're lacking this passion for God, well, what are the barriers that's stopping you from developing these affections for God? And most of all, pray for the Holy Spirit to work in you, to illuminate you, and to remove those barriers for you. And now, some of you may be thinking, wow, this is rather charismatic teaching. Ooh, I'm not sure where this guy's going. But before we get the pitchforks out, let me move on to my next point, which is our fourth action word. And it's actually a head response of thanks to God, and that's what I've named it. Verse 3 tells us to know God, to know Yahweh. This is the know word for intimate knowing, the one that we find in Genesis 3. It's the one that Dave has mentioned a few weeks back. It's, you know, and so I won't spend too much time on it. And I won't spend too much time on this particular topic because Dave and Diane have spoken in detail about what we're learning and knowing and understanding about God. So I won't focus on that. And in particular, this passage focuses on what Matt will be talking about next week, hopefully. And so it's coming to an understanding that God is our creator God. So spoiler alert, that's, you know, I think that's what Matt is talking about next week. And that we are his people and his sheep in his pasture. And we are in fact cared for, protected, and nurtured as a shepherd cares for a sheep. So you got that to look forward to. But today, what I want to focus on for this particular part is the significance of knowing God and how that is the core of our joy and our response to joy in thanks and how it brings us to an action of praise. You see, this psalm is highly poetic, especially when there's a bit of a pattern to it. And I think that there is a pattern to it. This psalm is like a sandwich. It's a triplet of action words at the beginning, and then there's a triplet of action words at the bottom, and then there's a nice little action word right in the middle. And of course, what's the most important thing about a sandwich? Is it the bread? No, it's about the filling. It's about what's in the middle. And so it is with this psalm. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing who he is and who we are in relation to him. That's what defines our joy. It defines our thanks and our praise as well. And so that's actually my second point is. It's that our joy is not merely heart affections. It's heart affections based off our theological convictions and our knowledge of God. And so we rejoice and we give thanks to God because he is God, the one true God, our creator God. It's knowing that we ourselves are not God, but that we are his and we are his people. It's because we are his sheep in his pasture and we know that we are cared for. It is particularly reinforced in the bookend of the psalm in verse 5 where we are given the reason for joyful song of thanks. And it's because God is good and his love and faithfulness endures forever to all generations. God is love. He is faithful to us as our God, as our shepherd. Hence, we respond to him in joy. We respond to him with joy and in praise, and that's our final point for today. Verse 4 wraps up the psalm with a quick fire three actions, which instructs us to give a response to God with our hands, with practical applications. Come through the gate and enter into his sheepfold, says the Psalter, and do it with thanks and praise. These are outward expressions of response. Giving thanks and blessing God's name is an actionable response to God's goodness, his love, his compassion, and how Jesus brought us in from the outside, how we're made his family by the blood of Jesus. And so the joy is what we feel in our hearts because we know what God has done for us. And we are called to action and to respond in thanks, to give him the glory he deserves by blessing his name. We started today talking about the difference between happiness and joy. So remember back to the distinction that I found on the internet randomly. Emotions, happiness is an outward expression of elation. Joy is an inward peace and contentment. Well, guess what? This psalm debunks this distinction. Joy is not merely an inward-looking peace and contentment. Joy is full of action and full of heart. Sometimes you can actually tell when a person is full of joy in their life because they radiate it with their expressions. Their outward expressions of elation, what we sometimes call passion in this world, is joy. It's joy in knowing God. It's joy of knowing His love for us. And it shows on their face. It shows in their words. It shows in the bounce in their steps as they sing praises to God in worship. And when you start talking to them about God, they perk up and they go on for hours and hours and you can't stop them. That's what joy looks like. That's the joy that Psalm 100 is exhibiting. It's an outward expression of passion and affections, full of actions that respond to the love of God. In the good and in the bad, has deeply rooted in an intimate knowledge of God and who He is. That God is good, His love endures forever, and His faith extends to all generations, and yes, even to us. This psalm is calling us to respond to God, to experience the joy and to express the joy that we have in God. And now this might be hard for some of us here. I hit the trifecta of being out of touch with my emotions and afflictions. I was 1, born as a man, 2, grew up in a broken family, and 3, trained as an engineer. Any one of these 3 would have pushed me down a path of bottling my emotions and affections, and I did all, and I got all 3. And guess what? I did go down that path of bottling my emotions and my affections, and my joy in God suffered for it. But God was good, and He loved me through all of that, and He helped me to realize that joy is more than theology. Joy is doxology. For those who are not familiar with the word doxology, it just means an expression of praise to God. It's been a long road of engaging my emotions and expressing my affections, and I'm definitely not there yet. I still can't get my hand above 90 degrees when singing. At my best, my dancing is just a seasick-inducing sway. But experiencing joy in God is how we endure through all the trials and all the sufferings of this world. So come, make noise. Come before our God in song. Come and give thanks to Him and bless His name, for we have a good God that loves us abundantly. And Luke chapter 10, verse 21 is an example of this God-praising joy and says this: at the time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Maybe you have a very healthy relationship with God and experience His joy daily. Then may this psalm be an affirmation and an encouragement to you. But if you're more like me and you struggle with reconciling an understanding of God with an experience of joy, then let today be a chance to do some soul searching. Pray to God that He will help you overcome the barrier of expressing joy in your life and to work hard at coming before to God in joy. And so to help you with that, I've come up with a 7-day challenge. It goes like this: at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, find something that you can give thanks to God in joy for throughout the day and to praise God for it. And now, it's hard. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just don't have anything. Don't worry. If you can't, read through either of the Psalms that we've done in the series. Psalm 126, Psalm 33, or Psalm 100, and find something that does give you joy, and to give thanks for that. Give it a week, see how it goes. And I've also left additional questions for you, because I know that Dave does it, and every time Dave does it, people pick their phone out and take pictures. Yep, there we go. So I know that it works. And so I've left for you some extra questions to ponder throughout the week. And so for those who don't have a phone handy, you can find it on the YouTube channel. And so as we wrap up, let's pray and to give God the glory that he deserves. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a good God, a loving God, and we love you so much in response. Lord, help us to be full of joy as we come to know you more and more, as come to a more intimate knowledge of you. And as we learn more about you, help us to experience this joy and to express this joy in our lives. Help us to radiate joy of you to everyone around us. May people who don't know you yet come and see you and go, wow, this person is full of joy. And may they be interested in knowing why it is that they're so full of this elation, that they can find so much positivity and joy in their lives in a world where we're struggling, where we're going through a lot of trials and a lot of suffering. So Lord, be with us and help us and pour your Holy Spirit upon us so that we can do all these things through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.